Hi everyone, good afternoon. This is Emily Steinberg from One Star Foundation. We're going to go ahead and get started with our monthly grantee call, but first let's just take roll while we're giving people a few minutes to jump on the call. So who is on the call currently?
This is Cameron Van Zura from College Forward.
Hi Cameron.
Hello.
Erin Allen from American Youth Works.
Okay, I heard Erin Allen from American Youth Works and somebody from Project Grad?
Yes, Laurie Ballering.
Hi, Laurie. Thanks. Hi, Erin.
Jill Humphrey from Amarillo AmeriCorps.
Hi, Jill.
This is Heather Swift.
Hi, Heather.
Hey, Emily.
So it sounds like somebody else just joined us as well. Who else has not checked in with us?
This is Erica from Teach for America.
Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Hi, Emily. It's Jessica from ACE.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us. Who else do we have on the line? Okay, great. Well, we'll go ahead and get started, and we'll do one last roll call at the end of the call for anybody who didn't already let us know that they're on. So welcome. Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, October 17th, and this is our One Star Monthly Grantee call. We are recording this call just to give you all a heads up, so if for some reason you aren't comfortable with that, just know that and feel free to hang up. And we will be posting this on our website and in our next AmeriCorps update as usual so that anybody who can't join us can listen in later on. We have lots of agenda items today. Really, we just wanted to take this time once every other month to make sure that you kind of have an idea of what's going on at One Star, kind of bigger picture, and of course to answer any lingering questions or ideas that might be out there in the field. So we'll definitely try to leave time for questions after I'm done giving my updates, and then also time for questions after Elisa gives some grant making updates. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with kind of our general announcements and updates. And the most exciting announcement that we have for today is, of course, that we have a new grants officer at One Star. Her name is Miranda Spiro, and she's joining us here today along with our other grants officers. So I'll give Miranda just a chance to say hello and welcome, Miranda.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here. I know a few of you because I was formerly the coordinator for Key Boston House, and I'm really excited to be in this new role. So welcome, everyone.
Thanks, Miranda. And for those of you who don't already know, Miranda is an AmeriCorps alum herself. She did VISTA many years ago in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. And has also run a service learning program as well as an AmeriCorps state program. So she comes to us with quite a breadth of experience for national service, and we're really excited for her to join us. We're now back up to full strength as the AmeriCorps Texas team, and we are looking forward to letting you all know by next week what your permanent 2013-14 grants officer assignments will be. So stay tuned for that. We're working on just the final list right now, and we look forward to kind of updating each of you individually with who your grants officers will be next week. All right, so moving right along, we also have good news in terms of the next agenda item. And by the way, all of this should have been sent to you around, I think it was October 15th, so it was earlier this week that you should have gotten the agenda. But the next item on the agenda is the current lapse in federal funding appropriations for CNCS. And of course, as all of you have probably heard by now, the government has reopened. Luckily, and so we actually don't have many updates on this right now, except that CNCS is back open. Their website is fully functional. I believe the National Service Knowledge Network should also be fully functional again. If you continue to experience any delays with getting into any major government websites, let us know and we'll do our best to check on those for you. E-Grants should be back up to having its full staff for technical assistance available as well. So all of that is very good news for grantees around the country. We have just experienced a few delays on our end with needing to get some guidance on a few things that we're waiting on with CNCS, so we're definitely eager to be in touch with our CNCS contacts as well. If you have any, you know, urgent questions related to needing CNCS input or guidance, Please speak with your grants officers, and we'll do our best to escalate any existing issues, either with e-grants or just general issues that might be happening with your program. We haven't heard about too many issues that it caused. I hope it did not delay any child care payments or anything like that. AmeriCorps members were supposed to still be able to access their education awards. So if you are experiencing any delays or difficulties related to the past 2 weeks of government shutdown, please do make sure to escalate those concerns to your grants officers. Next on the agenda, I wanted to take a few minutes to update you all related to our 2013-14 training event schedule. We here at One Star are really focusing a little less on events this year than we did previously last year. We have a smaller staff now, and we're definitely working on just trying to catch up with all of our core responsibilities and duties. So we will be kind of taking a step back from having quite as many events as we did last year. We also just have a smaller training budget, of course, as you all know. We will, however, continue to host our regular annual all-grantee meeting. And I wanted to give you all a heads up. This will be coming out to you in email form or in a survey form in the coming weeks. But we are kind of looking at three particular dates in March and April for all grantee meeting. So I wanted to go ahead and kind of give you the heads up on those. We're looking at Thursday and Fridays as our training dates. Those seem to work really well for people in general. If you have any major concerns with, you know, Thursdays and Fridays not working for you to send somebody to a grantee meeting, please let us know. But we're looking at the last Thursday and Friday, the last two Thursdays and Fridays in March, which would be March 20th through 21st, March 27th through 28th, or mid-April, April 10th through 11th. Those are the three sets of dates that we're looking at right now. You would be required to send your primary program and primary fiscal contacts unless they are unavailable, in which you can ask your grants officers for an exception to send a secondary contact. Or if for some reason you don't feel you need to send a fiscal contact, if you have a special circumstance, for instance, you can speak with your grants officer about what those unique circumstances might be. But otherwise, we expect the primary program and primary fiscal contacts to be there. And you all should have filled out a recent authorized representative form for the start of the new program year if anything changed. So feel free to ask your grants officer who's listed as your primary program and primary fiscal if you have any questions about that. So those are the dates we're looking at for all grantee meeting. It will be similar in terms of length. You know, generally 2 days is what we plan for here. We are looking at possibly offering a pre-conference with different training tracks. It really depends on, you know, what training resources we have available to us for the spring, but it is possible that we could offer a pre-conference related to different topics such as civic reflection, decision, disaster preparedness. And so if you have a particular interest in us hosting a specific pre-conference training, let us know and we will do our best to accommodate you. We will also continue hosting our new AmeriCorps staff orientations, or NASO as we call it, and those are really for brand new program staff or brand new programs, or if you've had, you know, turnover in your program, we definitely want you to send your new primary or secondary program or fiscal contacts to those events. We're currently, we will not be hosting one in November as we did last year. We don't really think that there's a need. It seems like most programs have really caught up on getting everybody trained. But we are looking at hosting one this winter or spring, either in January, February, or waiting until we can do it as a pre-conference with the all-grantee meeting. So if you know that you will have people to send, also please let your grants officers know so that we can kind of keep a running tally of how many people might need to attend that and how soon we might need to host it. Generally, we will not host a NASO event unless there are at least six people to attend. It's usually just not worth it to have a very small event. So we're looking for at least six people that would want to attend that NASO. And then civic reflection, as I mentioned, we'll probably be taking a back seat this year in terms of prioritizing events. We have a lot of different things going on here at One Star that we need to catch up on and work on internally. So we probably won't be focusing on civic reflection to the extent that we were able to last year. Also, many of you are aware that the Center for Civic Reflection is no longer in existence, so it would mean hosting that event completely comprised of our Texas trainers. So we will be probably speaking with our Texas trainers just to understand availability. but I want to remind you all in the meantime that you are always welcome to put in a request to have your own civic reflection training, and there is a link to that request form at the bottom of each biweekly AmeriCorps update. So right by where the authorized representative form link is at the very bottom of that newsletter, you can click on the civic reflection training request form, so that if you want to train, you know, for instance, members and staff, or you have a pretty large group, we could always work with our Texas trainer cadre to send somebody to your program. So if there is a need, and if you can kind of make a case of how that's going to benefit your program and that you would help coordinate those logistics, we are always all ears to those requests. So please do let us know. And again, there's a possibility we might be able to offer something as a pre-conference to all grantee meeting related to civic reflection. So that's also a possible option. All right, moving right along, and there will be time for questions in just a few minutes, so bear with me. Some disability inclusion updates. You probably noticed on our training event schedule, we didn't talk about a dedicated disability inclusion training, and that's really because our funds to continue disability inclusion work for national service are expiring very soon. We won't have the dedicated resources or staff time available to work on disability inclusion. That said, we will be spending some time this year developing resources such as training PowerPoints and materials, handouts, and resource guides to provide you all with, so that you are hopefully you will be encouraged to continue including disability inclusion training with members and new staff at your sites. So we will be working on that. We've also just received an update from NSIP, which is the National Service Inclusion Project, which is the official training and technical assistance provider to the Corporation on Disability Inclusion, that they have received a partial extension to continue offering their own training and technical assistance opportunities until the end of this year, so December 31st. So we still have access to them, both as a state commission and as a national service community. So if you do need any resources, whether it's training materials or just guidance related to disability inclusion, between now and December 31st is sort of your last opportunity to get really robust, comprehensive guidance or training on disability inclusion. So I know we've gotten at least, I think, one program request to do some inclusion training for members. And if you do want any of that, please do let us know as soon as possible, because we're really kind of wrapping up a lot of that disability inclusion work and trying to make it sustainable moving forward. So moving right along, this is also National Disability Employment Awareness Month. So I just wanted you guys to be aware of that October is a big month for the disability inclusion community. Some information has been sent to you in the AmeriCorps update. Please take a look at that. This might be a way that we can continue kind of the legacy of our disability inclusion work in AmeriCorps and National Service, is kind of dedicating time and thinking and resources, or doing some reflection each October around disability inclusion in our field. All right, moving right along, the AmeriCorps 20th anniversary. I wanted to update you all that I was fortunate enough to attend the National AmeriCorps 20th Anniversary Kickoff Celebration in Washington, D.C. last month on September 20th. It was a very well-attended and moving event that brought bipartisan leaders together. Elected officials from across the country in many different states were able to come and celebrate, including some of the very first board members of CNCS and some of the early champions and founders of the AmeriCorps legislation, including Shirley Sagawa, for those of you who might have read some of her books. She's really one of our champions, and she won the Legacy Award that day. We also received a video message for Bill Clinton, and I believe that video was circulated by the corporation, and it wasn't working during the shutdown, but it should be up and running on their YouTube page again. So we'll make sure to include that in AmeriCorps updates throughout the year for you guys to promote. But there was a very moving video about kind of the original purpose and intent of AmeriCorps, and it's something I hope that you'll circulate with your core members, something that you'll talk about this year with the 20th anniversary. There's an entire marketing guide that we've shared with you, special hashtag for Twitter users or Instagram users, AmeriCorps 20. And we really encourage you all to be part of this movement this year with us, and to make this anniversary a very special occasion in Texas. We were also really lucky that One of our Texas AmeriCorps alum chapter leaders from North Texas, Dree Pandya, was able to actually represent AmeriCorps alums at the ceremony in D.C. So Texas was very well represented. It was very impressive to see Dree speak to this large audience of VIPs in national service. So we really thank Dree for flying out to D.C. And other Texas AmeriCorps alums who accompanied her to be her support person. So really exciting. We have great Texas AmeriCorps networks here. You all are great Texas AmeriCorps leaders. We're very proud of our alums, chapters, and networks as well. And we hope that we can all work collaboratively in different cities to promote this event. I know that the Austin AmeriCorps programs had their swearing in on the same day, September 20th, and really incorporated all of the different AmeriCorps programs in Austin, the local alums chapters, local leadership, and we really congratulate you all for finding a way to collaborate around this special opportunity to promote AmeriCorps. So thank you for what you're doing, and I do just want to remind you all that the big date that we're kind of hurtling towards with the 20th anniversary is September 12th. It's actually September 12th. It's not September 20th in 2014, but it will be a Friday. And that is the anniversary of the date that the very first AmeriCorps members were sworn in 1994. So that's really exciting, and that is what the corporation will be working on next. They're also hoping to incorporate AmeriCorps alums from across the country and to have some sort of creative event called Sworn Again. And there's, I think, a website about how you can have these Sworn Again ceremonies. And so that's a concept that they're going to be looking at so that new members can be sworn in addition to alums kind of coming back to pledge another year of giving back to their communities in some way. So please do reach out to your AmeriCorps alums chapters in your area if you have one. If you don't have one, we would be happy to talk with you about how maybe some of your own program alums could start a chapter in your area. That's definitely a strategic interest of One Star to creating stronger national service networks across the state. So September 12th, 2014, be thinking about it. We here at One Star will be looking at having some type of event here in Austin that we will invite all programs to. It's going to be challenging to find a venue big enough to host us that we can afford, aside from a gigantic stadium. So we definitely are looking into that, and we're open to ideas and suggestions, but definitely put it on your calendar for next year, September 12th, 2014, and hopefully you or a representative or some of your members or alums could join us in Austin for a statewide ceremony. All right. And on that note, related to the 20th anniversary, I just wanted to really reiterate to all of you how important and how much on the forefront of our minds AmeriCorps branding and identity is here at One Star. After getting back from D.C. And our annual meeting with the corporation of all the states and the national programs, I think I'm left with the feeling that the corporation is really going to be getting much, much better and stronger at enforcing the AmeriCorps brand. And so I want you all to just start thinking about this now. One Star will be developing a branding and identity checklist tool that you all can use to assess your own program this year to ensure that you're following both the AmeriCorps provisions and requirements as well as the One Star terms and conditions that you all sign off on when you get your One Star grants. And so those things include having prominent placement of the AmeriCorps logo, preferably the AmeriCorps Texas logo, but either one will suffice, on your website. So make sure that that logo is there. Make sure that your members are wearing the AmeriCorps logo every single day in their service. That's something that is some new language, and Elisa's going to talk about that in a little bit as well. But the corporation is being pretty strict about this, that not only do they need to just have the AmeriCorps logo on their gear, but it needs to be worn daily so that they are always identifiable when they're on the clock for AmeriCorps as being AmeriCorps members. And that really comes from, I think, some recent site visits that corporation leadership has done to very prominent programs in the country where they've gone on site to see these programs in action, and nobody on that site really knows that AmeriCorps members are on their campus. And what a shame and what a lost opportunity that is when we have so many federal dollars, so many taxpayer dollars going to support the amazing service that these AmeriCorps members are doing, and that local, you know, staff or site staff or community members in that community don't know that those AmeriCorps members are actually serving with AmeriCorps. So this really comes from a place of wanting to promote the great work that you all are doing, and I hope that you will convey that to your members, that this is really for a much bigger cause and the bigger picture and the bigger good. So, branding and identity, check your websites, check your member gear, make sure that AmeriCorps logo is prominent. We will be checking on you on branding this year. So there will be more details on that later on, but we want to prepare you all now so that you're not caught off guard when we do go check your websites and your member gear. And you're going to see us getting a little bit tougher on this as well. And by the way, that includes media attention as well. So if your program ends up having a visitor from the media for a specific event, for instance, maybe your 20th anniversary event that you might be having or your sworn again ceremony, or any other really program activity, make sure that the media and the reporters that you speak with understand that these are AmeriCorps members who are providing the services. It does not really understand AmeriCorps, and we're welcome to help you give talking points to any member of the media on what AmeriCorps is and how it's benefiting your program in Texas. So we just encourage you all to make sure that you are speaking with the media about AmeriCorps if they're covering something that relates to what your AmeriCorps members are doing. All right, one last thing, and then we'll move on to questions. Another hot topic, as we are all aware, this year is evaluation. The corporation finally seems like they're catching up on a number of big issues like branding and like evaluation. And so there will be an enormous amount of attention in this coming couple of years on really being clearer about what the CNCS evaluation requirements really are. Instead of letting them be kind of an unspoken thing, we're really going to be checking in on all of your evaluation plans. We are still working through publishing the evaluation plan and report checklist, but we will be publishing a tool for you all to use to turn in to us, and it's one that we will use to assess your evaluation plans and reports to make sure that we think that they're meeting CNCS requirements. We recognize that this is not going to be easy, that it's the CNCS requirements, particularly for grantees that have over $500,000 in federal share, are very stringent. And so we recognize that we at OneStar have not always done the best job of communicating how those requirements needed to be met. And we're going to be definitely working with each of you and coaching you, hopefully, and helping you think through who will be conducting that evaluation and how they're going to meet those requirements. So definitely make sure that you're speaking with your grants officer, particularly for those of you that have to be conducting external evaluations. If you have over $500,000 in federal share, that's really when you need to be hyper-focused on what those evaluation plans and reports are going to look like, because that's really when the more stringent requirements kick in for the corporation, where they do want to see that quasi-experimental design. They do want to see, you know, some type of comparison group in terms of the data and the impact that your program is having. I was lucky enough to attend the same day as the AmeriCorps 20th anniversary, actually, a research summit, research and evaluation summit hosted by the corporation in DC, in which they featured a few programs that had done a really good job of meeting the requirements, as well as some of the new CNCS research staff. And they have quite an impressive team now at CNCS of people who explicitly focus 100% of their time on evaluating national service programs. So that's really exciting and also daunting, because it means that the requirements are really going to be looked to as a new standard of excellence. And I want to encourage all of you to be speaking with your grants officer, sharing your drafts of your evaluation plans. We're happy to start looking them over now while we're kind of fine-tuning our tool we'll release to all of you. And we're hoping, we're kind of waiting on the corporation to not be shut down anymore to make sure that they're comfortable with the tool that we're going to be using, because we want to make sure that what we're evaluating your evaluations on is the same thing the corporation will be evaluating your evaluations on. So hopefully that makes sense and will be an added value to all of you. At the same time, we recognize that this is similar to when performance measures really started getting instituted, and it may take a couple of years to get this really right and to kind of figure out what type of evaluation plan is really going to work best for you and what type of report is really feasible for you. We will be adjusting this evaluation checklist tool based on some of what we learned in DC a couple of weeks ago. I think the main takeaway point that I want you all to be aware of is that we will not be focusing as much on the triple bottom line as we had originally thought we would. I think the corporation just recognizes that the most important thing to be evaluating is whether or not your program is really making a difference in the lives of the program beneficiaries. And so you will see a renewed emphasis on that in the evaluation checklist tool. You will be seeing us ask, you know, hard questions about how you know that it's your program that's having that impact on your beneficiaries. And it will relate in some ways to your performance measures, but it's really asking some harder questions about how do you know that it was specifically your program compared to, you know, having students of similar demographics or clients of similar demographics that helped them reach those outcomes. And so that's what we're going to be challenging all of you to really focus on. Of course, we want you to continue measuring the impact that your program has on members. We want you to have strong alum networks. We want you to have those stories of service. We want you to make sure that you are helping those AmeriCorps members on their paths to future employment and civic service. And so we definitely still encourage you to incorporate that, as well as kind of the greater impact on the community. But we will be focusing more and more on particularly the bottom line of the impact that you have on your program beneficiaries. So if you have any questions about that, or as you're working through your evaluation plan, if you want us to take a quick glance at it and let you know our immediate reaction, we'd be happy to do that. And we will be phased in this evaluation tool, similar to how we did the criminal history check self-audit, where we will make it kind of a staggered process where we'll have a priority deadline, but we will review your plans on a rolling basis. So you're welcome to submit them sooner so that you can get feedback sooner, but we'll have some sort of set deadline and a priority deadline within that we're going to ask you to submit those plans to us by. So again, that's going to be mostly, I think that the burden is mostly on grantees who have over $500,000 in federal share. That's really when the tougher requirements kick in. You have a little bit more flexibility with the rules and requirements if you're under $500,000 CNCF share. Okay, with all that said, I'm going to open it up for questions before I turn it over to Elisa. So, questions. Reactions. Ideas.
Emily, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mary Ellen.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
You didn't mention anything about AmeriCorps Week, and I'm just curious how, if you know anything about how that dovetails with the 20th anniversary.
That's a great question. I haven't heard anything recently about AmeriCorps Week. I know that when they first announced the 20th anniversary year, the original thought was that instead of having a week, it's going to be all year long, and so that it would be a more spread out process. I know that doesn't really help you for specific event planning purposes, but I think what the corporation is encouraging is to have some type of signature event this year around the 20th anniversary instead of focusing on just 1 week.
So there won't be like one national week as far as you know?
As far as I know, not, but I'm happy to check in on that and maybe put something in the next AmeriCorps update that goes out to all of you if we learn anything different.
Great, thank you.
Sure. Other questions?
I have a question. This is Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
Hey, I have a question about the civic reflections, because I know in the past that's been, I mean, I interpreted it, since this is our first year, as a requirement. So can you talk a little bit more about the expectations for that? And I know it varies from program to program how often, like the coordinators in Central Texas have gotten together, and last year we kind of had a monthly event.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about the expectations for hosting civic reflections are less, are the same, are different?
So hosting Civic Reflections is not a requirement of your grant. It is, I think, what we consider a best practice. It's a strongly encouraged practice because it has been shown to have such a positive influence over AmeriCorps member retention and engagement. Mm-hmm. And I personally and anecdotally believe that AmeriCorps members who are more engaged in reflection type of activities are more likely to re-up for a second year and to be more engaged leaders. However, it is not a grant requirement, so you are not obligated to continue that, but it's something that we definitely encourage programs, particularly ones that already have in-house civic reflection facilitators, to continue doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Great question, though. Anything else?
I have another question that's totally separate, but you mentioned that there were people that spend 100% of their time evaluating national service programs, and I wasn't sure if you meant like consultants or staff.
Ah, good question. Let me clarify. The corporation now has a team of about 9 or 10 people in their research department that are focused on a number of different things, but really they are working on doing some national evaluations. For instance, you all probably saw that statistic that came out, I think it was a month or two ago, that people who volunteer are 27% more likely to be employed or gain employment. And so they're working on things like that. That actually was an internal study that they did of their existing data. That showed that the people who were volunteering, and they were working with the National Conference on, I'm forgetting what it's called, NCOC, on citizenship, I believe, that maintains that civic engagement data nationally. They were cross-matching people who volunteer with employment records. So they're doing some very innovative things at the national level. They are not focused as much on evaluating individual programs, unless they have a specific strategic interest in a specific program design that they're considering. So things that might influence their own grant making or future opportunities. I know they've been looking at just some specific initiatives that they're just curious to know more about, but mostly what they're focused on are those national statistics for media headlines, for instance, the employment rates. They're looking pretty soon, actually, at looking at Ed Award usage, I believe. That's one of their forthcoming projects. They're also working on, and I don't want to get you all too excited about this because it could take years and it may not happen, but I know that they're working on some possible data sharing agreements with other federal agencies, which would be, of course, tremendous help if all of us could gain access to better data. You could have better comparison sets to compare your program beneficiaries to, for instance. So they're working on some much higher level projects, but they are also the ones who are providing a lot of the clarification and the written guidance around how to interpret the CNCS evaluation requirements. Does that kind of answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and did you say 100 people?
No, 9 or 10.
Oh, 9 or 10, okay.
100% of their time.
Just checking on that, okay.
Yes, it's a small team in terms of a federal agency, but it's a lot more than we have here in Texas, so that's nice.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, I will go ahead and turn it over to Elisa, who has a number of grant-making updates for you, and she will take questions after her portion.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elisa with One Star. I'm just going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the 2014-15 AmeriCorps new recompete and continuation process. Just in looking at the attendee list of who all is on the call today, it looks like most of you guys are formula funded. So these are things that you don't need to be worried about in the immediate, but just be aware of them as far as putting them on your radar for what you're going to be asked to report on either next year, the following year when you recompete, or this year when you are in your own continuation later this spring. So please don't become alarmed as I talk about this. If you are a formula-funded program, your application is not due for several months. For those of you who are competitively funded or will be recompeting, you won't need to become alarmed either. The deadline is still November 6th, I know that with the government being shut down, that put maybe some kinks into the system as far as e-grants becoming available. But hopefully e-grants will be up and available as soon as possible. At this time, we will not be extending the deadline beyond November 6th. So unless something else significant happens, the deadline for those competitive new recompete and competitive continuation applications is still November 6th, so just about 3 weeks away. A couple other things to be aware of is that the corporation this year reprioritized their national performance measures. For those of you who are aware, the corporation, not OneStar, but the corporation, when they are conducting their grant review, place a focus on the tiers of performance measures that your program meets. And so I believe they had a statistic several years ago where like 100% or like 98% of the funded programs fell into one of those tier one or tier two performance measures. So this year, for the 2014-15 year, the re-tiered tier one performance measures are economic opportunity, veterans and military families, and disaster services. There is a little bit of an education performance measure in tier two, but the majority of education and the majority of what you all are going to be falling under is now tier three. I say that not to panic you, and not to have you all decide that now you want to have an economic opportunity component to your program, but just to be upfront with you that is something that the corporation takes into consideration, that at this time that does not affect how OneStar funds you. So please be aware of that change. Now, that could also change again next year, but again, that's how the corporation prioritizes the national performance measures. Something else I wanted to let you know is that with the reduction nationally of PDAT, the Program Development and Training Funds, reduction of disability, and an admin grant, CNCS is now allowing 2% to be withheld from the Section 3 cost of your AmeriCorps budget. Previously, they allowed up to 1%. And so in an effort to allow us to continue to administer you all as programs, to support you all in our portfolio, we will now be withholding the 2% of that CNCS share rather than 1%. And so for those of you who are continuing formula competitive for 2014-15, when you are redoing your budgets, be aware of that change from 1% to 2%. Another change for this year's funding, Emily alluded to it earlier, is the AmeriCorps logo. This is a new section not only in the text of the application narrative that you're being asked to respond to, how you all brand basically your AmeriCorps program, but it's also something that we're looking for to be included as a requirement in the AmeriCorps budget. So when we're looking at and reviewing your AmeriCorps budget supplies section, we will be looking at you included costs or funds to support something that has the AmeriCorps logo on it that your AmeriCorps members can wear on a daily basis. Now, we've gotten questions about what the item of daily wear has to be, but at this time there's no clarification that we have gotten that it has to be, you know, a t-shirt or pants or a hat or a vest or a name tag or a pin, sunglasses, I don't know, whatever else has the AmeriCorps logo on it, so long as you are branded daily. And then finally, the page limits have once again changed. For those of you who have been doing this for 3+ years, you remember back when you had to write like 40 or could write like 40 pages for your new recompete application. The page limit is now 15 pages. 15 pages to be as concise as possible to provide a lot of information on the program design, organizational capacity, and budget section of your grant. Several of the sections that used to be in the application program design section primarily are no longer being required, but there is still quite a bit in the mainly the effectiveness of your program, the why will this program work section of program design. And then kind of an increased reliance that your budget and the budget you put into the e-grants application will be a little bit more sufficient, and so your cost effectiveness budget adequacy narrative text doesn't need to be quite as lengthy. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for you. So for some of you, I think it's a good thing. For some of you, I think it's going to be a challenging thing. But just know that the page limit is now 15 pages. And that's one page including your face sheet, so technically it's 14 pages of e-grants text. And then that's basically it for what kind of has been the major changes to the grant application structure, the NOFO. For those of you who are in competitive continuation and recompete status right now, we have been hosting weekly webinars on a variety of AmeriCorps-specific topics. I am available to answer any questions that you have at any time related to the NOFO and this next year's competition. So please use me as a resource for answering any of those questions. Another thing about around grant making that we wanted to talk about were some additional notice of funding opportunities that we anticipate will be coming out in the next several months. Last year, if you all remember, the corporation partnered with the U.S. Department of Education to release a special school turnaround AmeriCorps NOFO, and they also partnered with the Department of Veterans Affairs to release a very specific and targeted VET Success notice of funding opportunity as well. We have been told that the corporation probably, well, it was originally November, so who knows when it would actually come out now, but originally they were anticipating releasing some NOFO information about the 2014-15 school turnaround NOFO, a 2014-15 VET Success NOFO, and a 2014-15 STEM AmeriCorps NOFO. We really don't know a lot about those NOFOs at this time, but just if by title only they sound interesting to you or something that you may be interested in, please contact me, because as we get information, we will obviously be sharing it with you, but you could help us in knowing good questions to ask before those things have even become available. So school turnaround, VET Success, and STEM AmeriCorps, if any of those are perhaps intriguing to you or any of your colleagues, please let me know. We just would like to get a little bit of information on potential interest in those as well. And then finally, we will be offering a Texas Disaster VGF, or Volunteer Generation Fund NOFO. This is a volunteer generation project to strengthen Texas' infrastructure and ability to harness the potential of unaffiliated, spontaneous, and other community volunteers generated in times of disaster through increasing the capacity of volunteer connector organizations and their partners. We will be releasing an RFP most likely in January. We anticipate awarding $150,000 in subgrants to organizations, most likely between two and four organizations, for an 8-month project period, all around volunteer recruitment and management during times of disaster. So again, if that is something that potentially interests you, any of your colleagues or partners, please let us know that as well. But we do anticipate releasing that one in about January. So that's all I have as far as updates in the grant making and management world. But if you all have any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time.
So Elise, it's Mary Ellen again. I have two questions. Just quickly, do you anticipate formula continuations to be much later in the year again, like last year?
Yes. Okay. I anticipate that the formula, I haven't looked at the calendar that much yet, but I anticipate that it will probably be due in April-ish.
Okay. And then my second question is, do you or Emily or any of you have any sense about the shift in priorities? You know, education was tier one and two for so long, and the Tier 2 education for school turnaround is so narrow, it impacts so few schools across the country, that I'm wondering if you gleaned anything in D.C. I mean, are they trying to even out the fact that education predominates in AmeriCorps, or what do you sense?
I think that there are a couple things. I think that education does predominate a lot of the current AmeriCorps programs. I think one of the other things is that, from what we understand, a lot of the research that the corporation is getting right now is that there's been significant traction made in a lot of education-related issues, and that on a national level, they are seeing more things like health and the economic opportunity, veterans, and disaster services being a higher priority as far as right now those things are going down, whereas education they see is rising. Now, One Star doesn't necessarily agree or disagree with that, but that's kind of the sense that we got, is that from their own research, they've been able to see that there has been a significant increase in education, and so therefore it's no longer a national priority, whereas some of these other things are getting worse and therefore popping up as priorities.
And just to add to what Elisa said, I think that for some of these, particularly like Vet Success, the initiative there, I think there are some new models that the corporation is wanting to test and really wanting to find programs that can find a way to successfully leverage national service resources to have an impact, for instance, on veterans and military families. And so some of these are perhaps a little bit more experimental in design and really trying to reach a population that's been hard to reach, and incentivizing that and incentivizing it for organizations that might be able to do those things well to come forward to participate in those initiatives. I also think from D.C., and I didn't mention this earlier, was that you all probably saw the memo that came out, I think it was back in July, about the new White House Task Force on Expanding National Service. Did you all receive that, I think?
Yeah.
So the corporation now kind of sits at the table with a number of different federal agencies, cabinet-level people, to talk about ways of expanding national service, basically having other federal agencies fund AmeriCorps or Senior Corps or specific national service programs like FEMA Corps that came out a few years ago. And so I think some of these new special initiatives are coming from other federal agencies or from the White House itself and the Office on Social Innovation.
Can I just plant the seed for possible training? I think it would be really interesting to dig into what the vet services could look like. I mean, are they looking for experimental models specifically to operate in those regions, or for programs across the state to be more inclusive or reach out to vets as a way for them to gain skills and experience and serve?
So I think there's kind of two different things, Mary Ellen. There's the Veterans and Military Families Priority Performance Measures, which are part of the typical or standard AmeriCorps or NOFO process. And then there's the special NOFO for Vet Success. And I think those are two very different things.
Okay.
As far as the performance measures being in Tier 1, I honestly think that the corporation doesn't know. They're very broad, and I think they're just looking for programs to integrate veterans somehow, some way, because if you look at the measures, they're very open. I think that's one thing. I think that they just they want to encourage and they want to increase that population, but there's not maybe a good way of anyone doing that right now, so they're trying to encourage something there. As for the Vet Success, that's a very, very, or at least when it was released this past year, it was a very, very targeted and very, very specific NOFO for campuses, college campuses that have veteran counseling service centers.
Yeah, I remember.
And so in Texas, I think there were like six campuses that were even eligible, plus you had to be a current program, so no one was eligible. So with the VET Success one that's going to be coming out, we anticipate that the eligibility is going to be broadened a little bit. From what we understand, there are additional campuses that have been brought onto that list of eligible campuses. So for here in Texas, I believe there's about 10 on the list or so now. And I'm trying to do my own research to find appropriate contacts at those universities. So if that's something, again, that interests you, that you have any information about, I would appreciate the help in just trying to start the conversation about that as well.
I guess I was thinking maybe at the all grantee meeting, it would be interesting, as we've done with disability inclusion, sort of what avenues exist in the state. I mean, you know, you talk about engaging veterans, and that's just like this huge thing about which I know nothing. And so I just think it would be interesting for us as programs to learn more about that, not that we're going to change our focus, but to, you know, if it is a national priority, it seems like we should know more about it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, here at One Star, we've spent about a year or so trying to build relationships, build connections with veteran serving organizations on a statewide level with mixed success. And so I would agree with you that it's an interesting population. It's a difficult thing to fully understand and grasp and to encourage both sides on what the benefits are and how it can work together. I think that there's a lot of education that can happen there.
Thanks.
Any other questions from anyone about anything grant related? That's not broad.
Scary.
All right. Well, great questions, good suggestions. We definitely value your time and thank you for joining us. If you have any follow-up questions that occur to you after the call, please feel free to email your grants officers or check in with one of us. And thank you for your time. Have a great month, and we'll talk to you next month with an informal your call. Oh, if anybody has not told us that they're on the call, will you jump in now and let us know?
You guys, Ace is on the call. I don't know if we said it.
Jessica and Austin,
Mary Ellen.
Yeah, Austin ISD is on the call. Raul.
Hi, Raul.
Hello.
Daniel from UT Brownsville.
Al Weber is on the call also.
Who was the last person? I missed. Oh, Al. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. And Lydia from 4-H is here.
Okay, thanks, Lydia.
And Jennifer with City Square.
Oh, wow, lots of folks. Okay, great.
Yeah, and Tamara with Texas Family Literacy.
Gotcha. Anybody else? Okay, thanks so much. Have a good month.
Thank you, guys.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.